Penguin Random House Audio presents 2 and 20, How the Masters of Private Equity Always Win, by Sachin Kajuria. Read for you by Will Damron. For my father, the man in the arena. It is not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Theodore Roosevelt, Citizenship in a Republic. Preface. 2% in annual fees, 20% of the profits. These are the fees private equity firms charge investors to manage and invest their money. The firms earn fees for running the cash they are entrusted with, and they also earn a share of the resulting profits from investments. This 2 and 20 formula sits at the core of the private equity industry, and although there are variations of it across firms and funds, it is the industry benchmark. It's an incentive that has helped create tremendous wealth for these dealmakers, while aligning the objectives of those who take the risk to put up the capital and those who seek to make profits from it on their behalf. In the simplest terms, the more money the investors make, the more the professionals make. They can both win together. Today, private equity, in combination with other forms of private capital, is a $12 trillion industry. Throughout this book, I use the simple unifying term private capital to refer to private equity, as well as related alternative asset investment strategies managed by many private equity firms, including credit, real estate, natural resources, infrastructure, and growth equity. The principles in this book apply to all of these investment strategies, the most famous of which is private equity. It doubled in size during the 2010s, and by the end of this decade, it could well exceed $20 trillion. At the most basic level, what private equity does is invest money into an operating enterprise, a real business or business plan, that needs to be fixed or that requires capital to grow, and then improve it before exiting at a profit. Put like that, it sounds simple. Private equity professionals pierce the veil, going beyond merely weighing the pros and cons of trading securities to understanding the workings of the underlying enterprise itself, just like a good company CEO would. Moreover, through the size of their investments, typically a controlling stake, private equity firms act like engaged owners, not passive investors. They eat what they cook, and that makes all the difference. We cannot overestimate the reach of private equity across the global economy at this point. It is present nearly everywhere, in sectors as diverse as chemicals, energy and power, banks and insurance, consumer and retail, aerospace and government, manufacturing and industrials, media and telecommunications, leisure and entertainment, healthcare and pharmaceuticals, and technology. It has invested in subsectors we might not think of as natural habitats for Wall Street, from our children's schools to food storage to dating applications to family ancestry tracing to military and intelligence technology. The vehicles used to make these investments are dizzying in their variety. From the traditional private equity funds that raise capital once and draw down commitments as required, to publicly listed funds, to the burgeoning class of funds that keep going without a finite life, so-called permanent or perpetual capital, to special purpose vehicles funded on a one-off basis by pension funds and other investors, or the balance sheets of private equity firms. There are hundreds of established private equity firms and hundreds more newer ones behind them. New firms crop up every year or two. At the apex of the industry sit a dozen major firms, the biggest of which are publicly listed, such as Blackstone and its rivals Carlyle and KKR. It's all too easy to get lost in the maze. Blackstone manages over $875 billion in assets across investment strategies. Some firms are open about their desire to manage over $1 trillion in assets themselves within just a few years. Taken together, the largest publicly listed firms manage over $2.5 trillion in assets. And even though the size of funds under management seems enormous, it underestimates the purchasing power of each firm because of the multiplier effect of leverage. Money that is put to work in private equity funds can be leveraged by the debt raised on top of it to make investments. The unspent money in private equity funds, dry powder, as we call it, can be multiplied by adding debt on top when investments are made. Take a relatively small fund, totaling $1 billion, and add $3 billion of debt. You now have $4 billion of purchasing power. Now consider not just private equity, but all forms of private capital managed by private equity firms that can have debt raised on top of the money invested from the funds. That's trillions of dollars to invest. Within our children's lifetimes, the industry could well be managing tens of trillions of dollars in assets. The field is huge and lucrative and has its fingers in nearly every sector of the economy. And yet the average person scarcely thinks about it, or would be able to explain how the industry works. Consider this. When we talk about private equity capital, we are, to a substantial extent, referring to money that belongs to the retirees of tomorrow. We are talking about individuals who rely, via their pension fund managers, on an industry they probably don't understand very well to deliver the returns they will need to live off in old age. We are talking about tens of millions of workers, employees like teachers, firefighters, and other pensioners around the world. The rise of private equity has been hiding in plain sight. The industry doesn't mint the kind of high publicity executives you find in big tech companies like Amazon or Tesla or Apple, but its reach is staggering. Investors turn to private equity to deliver higher, more consistent returns that are hard to get elsewhere. And as private equity firms introduce other strategies, such as credit, real estate, and infrastructure, these investors allocate money to those strategies too. The largest firms have become one-stop shops for alternative investments. Yet few outside Wall Street think much about them. This knowledge asymmetry needs to change. It's time for people to learn what's really going on with private equity, to get to know the traits and motivations of the key people pulling the strings. That's where this book comes in. We are all well conditioned to think about, talk about, and obsess about the big banks of Wall Street that were deeply involved in the chaos of the financial crisis of 2007-08. We are fixated with the big tech of Silicon Valley and its drumbeat of IPOs, not only because of those companies' insinuation into our daily lives, but also due to the astronomical wealth that successful technology companies generate. Everyone with a 401k knows the alphabet soup of acronyms that cover names like Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, and Google. They know their retirement income relies on them. What about private equity? We know little about the handful of masters who control it, or the people who work for them. This elite slice of society, with its strengthening grip on pensioners' money, has yet to be firmly established in the everyday lexicon. My goal in writing this book is to reveal the traits, culture, and temperament that fuel the most successful practitioners of 2 and 20. 2 and 20 as a fee concept is de rigueur across the industry. But there are striking differences in investment performance across private equity funds and firms. Even if the promised financial rewards are the same, some firms are able to consistently generate investment returns above what the mutual or index or exchange-traded fund, ETF, industries can provide far more cheaply,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?